Our sermon today comes from the book of John, John chapter 12 and verse 12. So get your Bibles out and read along, please. John 12, 12, down to verse 23. And the message is called, "Fear not, your King is coming. Fear not, your King is coming." The Word of God reads as follows, John 12, 12. "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.'" The next verse is a sort of a parenthesis. "His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Also, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, they also bore witness. And it was for this reason also that the people met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign." Verse 19, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.' Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. We thank you, Father, for the recollection of this joyous scene. And we praise you today, Lord. We praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. May our lives also be full of praise and anticipation. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, happy Palm Sunday, everybody. Palm Sunday is a wonderful, wonderful day. I certainly wish that we could have been there. Don't you think? It would have been a wonderful thing to be there and to see what it was like, to see how the great parade, the great reception was out to see Jesus into town. I love it because this is a day when the Lord Jesus got what he deserved, right? He deserves this reception, does he not? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, the Son of David. And there's the cheering, there's the excitement, there's the adulation of the crowd. It's really, what a day. And no one ever was more worthy of a reception like this than Jesus Christ was. For the last 3 years, what has he been doing? The way Peter puts it when he's talking to Cornelius, he says he had gone about doing good. He went about doing good. He healed the sick. He cast out unclean spirits. He proclaimed freedom to those who were bound in sin, people who were suffering, and people who are sore of heart. The Lord has spent years now in his public ministry. The scripture says he came as a light into the world. It says that people marveled at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. In fact, those days, if only we could have been there, they were days of marvels. On many occasions, though, the Lord had told the people whose lives he touched to keep it quiet. Right? Don't say anything about this. Don't cause a big stir. Don't tell anybody what you've seen. But, of course, you know, there's hardly the sort of things that you can keep a lid on for very long. And now, on his way into Jerusalem, this adoring crowd, you know, finally they can't contain themselves any longer. They lay the palm branches in his path. They lay their garments in the road, and they holler, and they tell their neighbors. They wave to him. They try to get his attention. They forget about all their cares, and they say, "Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice. We will be glad. We are glad." And today's the Lord's day. We will rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad in the Lord. It's every day. It's right and fitting to give honor and to give praise to the Lord Jesus. Well, We've asked him tonight, today, to come into his midst. He's here. He's here with us. I mean, if Christ came riding into town, would we be ready? Would we be glad to see him? Well, I certainly hope that people would go out to see him. Well, he is here. We've invited him into our gathering, and the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, well, the Lord is. The Lord is there, right? I am with you always to the end of the age. And Christ is with us right now, and rejoicing and gladness and praise, that's what he deserves right now and always. Of course, there's the rest of the week that's going to follow. And what followed later in the week was obviously according to the plan of God. It was the plan of God that Christ, even though he was innocent, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He bore our sin. He bore the indignation and wrath of God on the cross. A wonderfully gracious thing for him to do, a merciful thing. But no one would say that that was what he deserved. He took the shame and disgrace of the world's sin. He shed his blood for us. He gave his life for us and showed his love for us in doing that. But certainly he did not deserve it, did he? This triumphal procession, this is what he deserves. It's much more along the lines of what Jesus actually deserved. This is the kind of life that you and I ought to be living. We ought to be living a Palm Sunday life, right? Because the scripture says, John says it here, 14? The scripture says, he's quoting the prophet Zechariah, praise in anticipation is precisely in keeping with the word of God to his people, right? God said this, right? It is written, right? It's written in the prophet, fear not, your king is coming. Okay, it is written. That's the word of God, and the people of God who hear the voice of God, they're full of anticipation for the coming of their king, right? God has assured his people that their king is at hand. We wait for a king. We can hardly wait until he comes. He's coming soon, very soon. And think of the comfort and the consolation that it brings to us to know that our king is coming. Imagine if we did not know this. Imagine if we had no news of our king, right? If we didn't even know if there was a king. Imagine a people, if a people had no idea whether their king even was in the country or absent. Is he even alive or dead? Do we even have a king? And if he's alive, what are his intentions? There's the empty throne. It's been empty for decades. Is the king coming? Is he going to take up his seat? Is he going to rule? Imagine if we just didn't know if he was even aware of our longing for him, right? Are we even a people? We would start to wonder, who do we belong to? What's our identity? Do we have a leader? Is there some common bond that brings us together? Do we have a common purpose? Or do we have a common allegiance? Is there a rescuer? Our adversaries keep on harassing us and threatening us and intruding into what's ours and treading on us. We would be a sad, heartsick people. And so it says, the daughter of Zion, right? This is to whom God addresses through the prophet. This is the one God addresses through the voice of Zechariah, the prophet. The daughter of Zion, she knows a great deal about that kind of heartsickness, that kind of uncertainty. All day long, my enemies say to me, where is your God? They taunt us. What help is there for them in God? He's forsaken them. The Lord doesn't hear them. The Lord isn't going to do anything for them, either for ill or for good. And this is the people at the time of Jesus Christ. You know what the state of Judea was like back then? You know the mood there? How long, Lord? How long until you send us our king? Are you going to forget us forever? Is your wrath beyond measure? Have mercy on us. Restore us. Or have you utterly forsaken us? Why do you remain silent? So how wonderful then this consolation from God through the prophet. Take heart, my people. Be of good cheer. Don't fret. Your king is coming. Now, Christians, knowing this fact makes all the difference in life, don't you think? To know that the kingdoms of this world are going to become the dominion, they're going to become the kingdom of our Lord, of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and he's going to reign forever and ever. That's great consolation. You need to let it show that you really believe this. You need to let it show that you really believe that your king is coming. And that means let your light shine. It means let people see praise in your life and anticipation in your life. Hey, praise and anticipation. Those will be our two key words for the day, praise and anticipation. And this is a really lousy time for us not to be together because, you know, where's the happy faces? I'm used to looking out and seeing, you know, some sunshine out there. You know, when I see praise coming onto people's faces, even though their week has been a heavy week and they might come in weary and tired, you know, through the praise of the Lord, the sun starts to come out and I start to see some people who are, well, like the Bible says, they're hard pressed but not crushed. Okay, they're sorrowful, perhaps, but always rejoicing. They're having little but possessing everything. That's what the scripture says, because praise starts to well up within them. They know the king is coming. Praise today, anticipation for what's to come. That's the kind of thing that gets people's attention, isn't it? Right? That kind of display in Christian lives, people can't help but notice that something's up, right? How can you do it? How can you live a Palm Sunday kind of life? Well, Christians, for starters, for heaven's sake, sing. Sing. Morning and evening and at noon, I will praise him. I will have the Lord's name on my lips at all times. I will give thanks to thee among the people. The Spirit tells you what to do. He says, make melody in your hearts to the Lord, right? What's your favorite song? What's your favorite hymn? Do you have some words memorized, some lyrics memorized? Well, don't keep them bottled up. Let them out. Okay, the Bible says a cheerful heart is good medicine. So, I don't know, what's your favorite song? Great is thy faithfulness, under his wings, victory in Jesus, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hosanna, Hosanna, glory in the highest. Okay, we lift up your name. Okay, take the name of Jesus with you. Take a tune with you as you go, right? If you like the praise songs, well, by all means, sing the praise songs. If you like hymns, well, sing the hymns, you know. You do you. Do you like country? Okay, well, whatever works, you know. Make melody in your hearts to the Lord. And what should come through, what should shine through in the songs you sing is I love you, Lord Jesus, and I worship you, and I'm so happy to know that you care for me. I know that some Christians, you know, you can't sing, you can't carry a tune in a bucket, right? But who cares, you know? Just put the music on then. If that's all you can do is put the music on, and you know what the Word of God says. It says, let it be according to what a man has and not according to what a man doesn't have, right? If you can't sing, it's okay. Do what you can do, right? The Bible says as long as the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. The gift is acceptable. So sing to the Lord. Sing the way the crowd sang. Singing casts away fear. Fear not. Your king is coming. Singing chases away the gloom of the day. It lifts the weight from off of a heavy heart. And heaven knows that we have been under a weight, a heavy weight lately. Who doesn't need some music to praise the Lord and to celebrate his goodness? So Christians, sing to the Lord on Palm Sunday. And look what else the crowd did. Besides singing, what else did they do? They prepared the Lord's way, right? They prepared the way for the Lord. Blessed is he. Blessed is the King of Israel. They laid the palms in the road. They laid their garments in the road. They paid the Lord Jesus honor by doing that. And we also should be ready to receive him. Okay, you know how the Lord told many parables about being ready to receive your master when he arrives. Whether that's daytime or nighttime or in the fourth watch, be ready to receive him. Let him find you looking. Let him find you expectant and at peace, on the spot, ready to open the door for him. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 says this, "Therefore, beloved, since you look forward to these things," okay, you look forward. Are you looking forward? Okay, am I focused on today? Am I focused on the present, this current circumstances, or am I looking ahead? Am I looking beyond today? "Since you look forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and spotless and blameless." Okay, and of course, as Christians, we all know that this preparation of self, this prepare the way for the Lord, it's a major aspect of our lives as Christians. We put off the old and put on the new, being lovers of truth, lovers of purity, peacemakers, laboring in love, allowing the Spirit of God to cleanse away and purge away everything that's unclean or ungodly or selfish within us. This is preparing ourselves to receive the Lord. Okay, Jesus also told us the parable of the master who entrusted the talents to his servants. And that's all, you know, the story there. All of our work in the Lord, too, is part of our preparation to receive him. What are we going to lay in his path as he comes riding in? What will we have to wave, right, to offer him as a wave offering to glorify his procession as he comes in? Okay, because the day is coming when, like this crowd, they heard the report that he was here, right? Here he is, he's coming. And they dropped what they were doing and they went out to meet him. And that's what the word says about his coming again. That's the meeting that Paul refers to in that famous passage, right? A meeting of the Lord in the air. Okay, a word that's much better translated, a reception. Right, a reception. That's what this is. That's what that will be. Verse 13 says that the crowd went out to meet him, right, because he was coming in. He's arriving. We eagerly await the day, don't we, Christians? Do you? We eagerly await the day when Christ will be revealed from heaven in his royal majesty, King of Kings, and he will arrive once again. The scripture says he is going to set his foot down on the Mount of Olives, right? Same prophet, Zechariah, says, "Thus the Lord my God will come and all his saints with him." And Jesus himself told us he'll send his messengers out to announce he's coming. Today's the day. Behold your king. And they'll gather the crowd, right? When they heard Jesus was coming, they went out to receive him. "Fear not, daughter of Zion, today's the day." Okay, and that great crowd will be gathered, will be caught up together for a meeting of the Lord in the air. Okay, and someday, possibly very soon, we're going to participate in such a meeting, right? A reception of the Lord. Okay, what's the song called? The Palms, right? The old one by Fauré, right? "Bless him who cometh to bring us salvation." It's going to be a glorious, glorious coming, a majestic, a royal arrival. It's going to be the beginning of a magnificent celebration. Creation itself is going to sing. The psalm says his people will be willing volunteers in the day of his power. So friends, this is our duty. And it's our pleasure to be living lives of praise and anticipation. Rejoice, daughter of Zion, your king is coming. Okay, especially now, right, in this time of history when anxiety and this glum sense of depression is just everywhere, and suspicion and fear because of the virus and the quarantine, right? The Spirit says, don't fear, children of Zion. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, has he? Lead a Palm Sunday life, then, not a life of fear, but a life of praise and anticipation. Okay, so we have to ask ourselves, am I eager? Am I eager to receive, am I excited to receive Jesus as King? Let earth receive her King, the song says. My Lord the King, Sire, I bow to you. I offer you my sword. I offer you my life. I offer you my allegiance, my King. I wish he would come. How soon is it going to be? How much longer is it going to be before the Lord will come? I know he's near, and I know that he's mighty to save. I know this, but do people see that in me? Do they know that my hope is not in anything of this present time, but in what's to come? My hope is not in what's to come, it's in who is to come, right? Who he was, who is, and who is to come. He's coming, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Okay, I'm not just saying, do people know me as a sort of religious person? Rather, do they know that I am looking forward to being with my King, Jesus Christ? He's my King. Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? But not everybody wants to be with Christ, with Jesus Christ. And not everybody wants to look on the face of the Son of God and see his glory and sing him praises. Well, listen, friends, you can't have one without the other. Jesus himself said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who do you think the king of that kingdom is? Okay, Christians, let a Christian stand out because his life is not one of fear, but one of praise and anticipation. Praise and anticipation makes all the difference. What happens when the difference shows in our conduct and in our attitude? People will see. Okay, for one thing, other people are drawn to him. Right? When God's people cause a stir from joy and from gladness, others want to see, what is the fuss all about? Share the Lord Jesus. There's enough of him to go around. Share the Lord Jesus and call other people into the procession. Call them to the meeting. So last thing here in the scripture, see in verse 19, John 12, 19, you see in the scripture what this ends up doing. On the one hand, you have the foes of God frustrated. We're getting nowhere. See how the whole world has gone after him. Well, yeah, Pharisees, something that your laws and your scripted traditions cannot do, God has done by sending his Son. He has revealed his grace to the human race. He has freed people from bondage. He's the letters say that he has filled us with all the fullness of Christ. He's made us complete in him. He's made peace through the blood of his cross. And people said, wow, listen to what gracious words come out of his mouth. Look what great things he has done. He does everything well. And you know, the grumblers and the powers that be, they grind their teeth in frustration that they can't hold the people down. They can't quiet our joy. There they are. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Praise be to the King of Israel. Yes, the Bible says he has put the powers and the principalities to shame. He has triumphed over them, and thus may all your enemies be, Lord. Okay, so that's on one hand. On the other hand, you have these outsiders. It says certain Greeks in verse 20, okay, they have come up for the holiday feast. What's their reaction to all this? We want to see Jesus. This is what a life of praise and anticipation will do. Okay, it causes a little bit of a stir. It makes the onlookers around us say, we would like to meet this Jesus. Sir, can you introduce me to Jesus? Okay, now look, on the original Palm Sunday back then, things were a little bit different. Well, they were a lot different. Philip and Andrew come to tell Jesus that these men want to meet him, and Jesus His response is this: the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Okay, he knows what is still ahead of him, what is yet undone over the next few days. So he puts the Greeks off for a short time, but their eagerness to meet him shows it is just now, it is just about time for God to throw open the door of salvation for the nations to come in. And like it says in the scriptures, in him the Gentiles will put their hope. Okay, one task remains yet for Jesus before that can be done. He has to lay down his life for the sins of the world, and he has to take it up again. Well, today, that's over. We're past that, right? That terrible sacrifice is finished. It's in the past. The Son of Man has been glorified. God, by his mighty power, has raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. He's exalted him far above the highest heavens, far above every power and principality and might and dominion and every name that can be named. And God has seated him at his right hand until, as what Peter said to the Jews, even these grumbling Pharisees, just a few weeks later, Peter is addressing them, and he says to them, "Brothers, I know that you slew him out of ignorance. I know that you weren't aware exactly what it was you were doing when you crucified him, but you see, this is how God fulfilled his word through the prophets that his chosen one would suffer. He's fulfilled his word through all of this, don't you see? So now repent so that your sins may be blotted out, even this sin, and so that God may send the Christ back. He may send the King back. Yes, this Jesus that you crucified." Peter says he must remain in heaven until the time comes for the restoration of all things, as God also spoke about through all his prophets. "Fear not, daughter of Zion, your king is coming again." He's coming again. And now how much more worthy Jesus is now that he has done the supreme good thing for us. Okay, even greater a thing than all of the things that attracted this crowd. He gave sight to a blind man. He multiplied the loaves and fishes. He even brought Lazarus back to life. Right? A greater thing than that Christ has done. He has bought us for himself with his own life's blood. He received the indignation of God upon himself for the sins of every man and woman. He was our scapegoat. He was our sacrificial lamb. The scripture says that he made intercession for the transgressors. It says, by his wounds we are healed. It says, by one man's obedience, many are made righteous. Hear those words, you sinners, and weep and rejoice, because Jesus himself has taken away your reproach and has made the believer righteous. I cannot wait to see him again. I cannot wait to see him riding in. As the scripture says, the Lord Jesus himself will descend from heaven. Wait, not from heaven, not coming over the hill from Bethany. He's going to come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will arise. And then it says, all of us will be gathered. All of us will be caught up together in the clouds for such a reception for the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And it says, from then on, we will forever be with the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest forever and forever. Amen. Let's pray, friends. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day of celebration. We thank you for our church family, Lord, just a little part of the throng that eagerly anticipates the return of the Lord Jesus. We ask you to come quickly, Lord Jesus. We know that your plan is moving ahead, is moving forward. And we know, Lord, that you have your gospel going to all the corners of the world. We know the time is approaching. So help us, Lord, to live lives of praise and anticipation. Pray that you would purify us from all sin encourage us, Lord, to be strong in you and to encourage one another until the day comes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the ability to meet in this way. And we ask you to hasten the day when we'll be back together in person, and even more so the day when we will all be together, all your saints from all over the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.